You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
But up first, we have the piece with Patrick Crutzen. So Patrick Crutzen is the editor-in-chief at Stuff. And the origins of this piece are from the school climate strikes march when we all attended. Last week you may have heard some very noisy, and I apologize for that, interviews with Mike McRoberts and with Simon Wilson about the media's framing of climate change, because we thought that this was an interesting angle to take upon it as a media organization ourselves, to look at how our framing of an event such as the climate crisis frames the actions and responses to the climate crisis. So I started by asking Patrick Crutzen whether Stuff as an organization actually have a kind of code of ethics or coda that they write by in general.
We have a code of ethics that governs how we approach news reporting, but beyond that, we don't have a specific mission statement because we are not a niche site. We're a very broad, general interest news website.
Is it public information what is included within that code of ethics to report upon?
We have published parts of our code of ethics before, but it's not necessarily all that relevant to this. What is probably more relevant is that we have a published public stance on climate change in particular, because last November we launched an ongoing project called Quick Save the Planet to greatly increase and improve the quality and quantity of our climate change coverage.
So for the listeners who haven't seen this statement and kind of mission and or direction that Stuff are going in, what is included in this statement or mission, and is it reflective of the editorial choices that Stuff are making when reporting on the climate change or climate crisis?
So the goal of the project, which we said would last for at least a year, but in reality is just ongoing, is to help burst the bubble of complacency around climate change or the climate crisis, and to do what we can as New Zealand's largest domestic website to make climate change feel urgent, tangible and unignorable, because I felt that it's easy for New Zealanders to dismiss climate change for a number of reasons, because it feels like something that's happening far away, either in distance or in time, or it feels like something that we are too small to have an impact on. So we've committed to this project, which involves quite a large number of our staff, of our reporters, and involves partnerships that we've made with other organisations. We've committed to this project to greatly increase the amount of climate change coverage that we publish. It has a dedicated space on the Stuff homepage. And since starting this project, we have changed the nature and the amount of the climate change coverage that Stuff, the website, and Stuff's newspapers around the country publish.
You mentioned there that there's a perhaps air of complacency among some reporting, or just in general around climate change or the climate crisis. What editorial or framing tendencies do you see other organizations or people generally and perhaps in conversation using that breed this air of complacency?
I'm not sure if it necessarily owes to the reporting on the issue, but I think it's easy for people to just avoid facing climate change because it's such a large issue with huge global trends that it can be easy to dismiss the relevance to your everyday life. And, you know, there's the psychological factor called discounting, where we pay less attention to things that seem far away from us. So, you know, we pay attention to we give much greater priority to our daily needs rather than long-term needs, even if those long-term needs are going to end up being more important down the line. So I think that is the context that media reporting is operating in. And what we've tried to do successfully in some cases, not so successfully in other cases, is to try to pierce that by making our climate crisis coverage feel as relevant as possible.
So
So, but there's also a bit of a barrier to get over in the sense that there is a small but determined group of people who just are unwilling to accept that climate change is real and caused by human activity, and will just not treat that topic fairly.
I was wondering, and you kind of mentioned it there with the discounting effects, or like looking at individualism in the media. So some would suggest that the media individualizes the issue of climate change or the climate crisis, which perhaps would then doesn't necessarily encourage action or responses from corporates or companies who perhaps are more or should be more responsible for solving or finding a solution for the climate crisis issue. Of course, with I believe it's 100 companies factoring in for 71% of carbon emissions. However, you've kind of looked at the flip side of this, of the way the language that we use to discuss climate change or the climate crisis perhaps distances us from the actual issue. A, is there like a medium between the two? And what effect does kind of the individualization of climate change have on people's responses? And what language do we see in general conversation as well as in reporting, as you've mentioned, that contributes to this kind of effect of discounting?
I think the actions and the response of individuals to climate change does need to be part of the story. The trick is that it can't be the whole story. You know, we should be looking at things like how individuals can lower their carbon emissions, the sorts of vehicles people should be driving, what their diets can be, you know, the impact of individuals making international travel, that kind of thing. And we should do that partly because people want to hear what difference they can make individually, but also because while each individual only has a tiny infinitesimal impact, collectively as citizens and consumers, individuals have a large impact, and they have considerable power as a collective, as consumers and as citizens, to force action from governments and companies. But that can only be part of the picture, and we just as much, if not more, have to report about how, you know, communities respond, the mitigation and adaptation efforts that that communities are making. We have to look at the policy and behaviour of governments, local governments, regional councils in particular, and central government, and we have to look at what corporations are doing, both domestically and internationally. So I don't think there's anything wrong with what individuals do being a part of the story, but it has to only be a part, not the whole story. So we have to get the balance and the focus right.
You kind of talked about empowering the kind of individual or like the consumer or the citizen with the way that we frame the stories. Like, do you think the media has the power to motivate action or even in climate action specifically in this case?
Yes, I believe the media does, and that's partly by helping decision makers understand how important the issue of climate change is to New Zealanders, and by amplifying the views of those concerned New Zealanders. So one thing we did recently is around the school climate strikes, we invited a 17-year-old student from Christchurch named Mia Sutherland, who was one of the climate strike organisers. We invited her to come to Stuff for the Day and be our guest editor, which is something we hadn't done before. That was a new initiative for us. And on the day of the second climate strike on May 24th, she acted as our guest editor for the day. She'd commissioned a series of stories for our reporters to work on, and she ran a live blog and did a few other things for us on the day. And the intention of that was to amplify a voice from a demographic that's too often overlooked in the mainstream media. And I think that's an example of the sort of role that the media can play in helping the voices of citizens be heard by decision makers.
And so do you think that the media has the responsibility to do that as well as the power to do that?
I think climate change is the defining existential crisis of this era, and the media have the responsibility to cover that fairly and accurately and with appropriate gravity.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.